Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Dylan.
And this is Mom Fails by Juna, the podcast that debunks the myth that moms have to be perfect. I'm far from perfect.
Me too.
And when it comes to our kids, we occasionally mess up.
I mess up literally all the time.
But we're here to tell you, it's all good.
Our hope is that by hearing funny, honest, sometimes embarrassing stories from real moms, you'll feel less alone, less like a failure, and more part of our community of moms who are trying their best, sometimes slip up, but learn from their mistakes.
This podcast is free of judgment, full of snark, and definitely not safe for kids. If you have a mom fail to share, DM us on Instagram at juna.moms or email me, sarah@juna.co. That's sarahjuna.co. Let's get started.
Dylan will be joining us shortly, but, you know, like all things mom life, she was like, you know, my delivery person was supposed to bring the couch this afternoon, and obviously he's coming in the next 30 minutes, so, and I said, well, we need to plow through. But anyway, so I'll get started. My week this week, I was going to share a fail because I have so many of them, but I also don't have many wins, and so in the opposite spirit of this podcast, I'm going to share my giant win. You aren't up to this stage yet because your children aren't dreaming, I'm imagining, or at least telling you about their dreams or nightmares. But my older two kids, which are, you know, 6 and 4, they both have nightmares and dreams every now and then. Last week, Kyla came into my room in the middle of the night and was like, I had a giant nightmare. And I was just like, okay, you know, like, why don't you know, come sleep between mommy and daddy? And we don't really do that. And so she was like, what? Okay. Like, this is amazing. I knew, I like deep down knew that like the rest of the week was going to be a thing with these nightmares. And like, lo and behold, it has been. Every night before bed, Kyla starts going, Mom, I'm thinking about my nightmare. I think I have to sleep in bed with you. And so here's the win. If you have a kid with nightmares, you just need to get them nightmare spray. And nightmare spray is a spritz bottle filled with water, essential oils. Like I just like put essential oil on it so that it doesn't just like, so it smells, it like gives off the idea that there's really, you know, some nightmare spray in there. And now we have 3 bottles, one for each kid's room. Cause now Levi's like, I have nightmares. Like even though he doesn't even know, but every night before bed, each kid like literally takes this like IKEA water spray bottle and just sprays their entire room to get rid of the nightmares. And it has literally solved our nightmare problems for now. So if you have a kid with nightmares, fake a nightmare spray.
That is brilliant.
I was very proud.
My question is, do they make them for adults? Because I had the weirdest nightmare last night and I could definitely use some spray.
Yes, yes. I think that it's just water and essential oil spray.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Good.
It will work. All right. Awesome. I said I was sharing a win because I don't have many that I'd like to share. So I did.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. I have a little fail, which happened last night. We potty trained a couple weeks ago and she is doing phenomenally. Is that? Yeah. But, you know, we have the portable toilet and I'm kind of always, you know, aware if she has to go because I don't want her to go in the stroller. So last night we took the kids to an early dinner and my husband had to go home early and I was walking back. It was dark and my daughter was like, I need to pee. And I was like, yeah, great. Like pee on the ground, whatever. Pee on the ground, like in night when there's like strange people around, like, not a good idea. Just no. Like, so, you know, I should have just let her pee in the stroller or waited, just like begged her to wait till we got home because, you know, put the kids in a weird position. It was potentially dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. I remember taking those little potties to the park all the time. And by the way, with Luca, I'm like, you can pee on a tree, dude.
Correct.
Just pee on a tree. And he'd be like, no, I have to sit. And I'm like, oh, my God, I have to like. What good is a penis for? It's literally what it's for. This is your moment. Levi doesn't have that problem. He exclusively stands up. he's like, Eric, I'm like, dude, the two of you just with the pee all over the seat. So we're working on it. We're working on it. Well, welcome, Virginia. I'm so excited to have you today. Virginia is here to talk about food. We're talking about feeding our toddlers because it's super stressful. And she was inspired to come on the podcast after listening to a couple weeks ago, Anna's podcast. And then Anna said, how do y'all feed your kids? And so this is the first episode for that. So, Virginia, I'll let you kick it off. You want to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Virginia, mother of identical twin girls, and they are 18 months. And, you know, I was thinking about, like, I don't know if this stuff is funny. I think it's just kind of sad. And I don't know. Like, but it is, like, by definition, I feel like a failure. You know, I was, like, leading up to this, I was looking at these videos. And, you know, because breastfeeding didn't go great, I thought I was going to nail the solid part because I was, like, following, you know, like, solid start, baby led weaning. I have a couple of friends. One of them is an influencer who did that. And her kids were eating, like, you know, sushi and, like, kimchi. And, you know, food's very important to me. I went to culinary school. Like, I thought this was something I was going to completely nail. And I kind of did until about 13 months, where they went on kind of like a hunger strike. Like, they were no longer buying that the cheese on macaroni and cheese with, like, pureed butternut squash and nutritional yeast. Like, they were like, this was, that's what I was doing. And I was also driving myself crazy, I think, with just the mental load and, like, doing spreadsheets of what I need to buy and feed them. And I mean, it's a lot, right? And so one day I was like, you know what? I'm just going to give them these chicken fingers of old food and we'll see what happens. And they didn't eat it. And then I sort of, like, pushed it on them. I didn't push it on them, but I kept trying because I was like, I need these convenient foods to save my mental health. And I should have, I mean, like, looking back, I'm like, was that a slippery slope? Was that, like, the inflection point? Was that it? And I think it was, because now it's, like, all they want. And, like, no, they don't want lentil bolognese anymore. Like, they want just the trashiest food, like, out of cans and packages. And every time I feed them something like that, I feel like I've messed up. And I know, like, objectively, I haven't. I know this is not a failure. I'm feeding them and they're healthy, but it's all the shame and guilt that comes with, I'm in charge of these people and I'm feeding them like how I ate in college.
Yeah. Oh my. By the way, it's so interesting. I feel like the 13 months is like, I feel like the first point with all three of my kids where it was like, oh, I was eating all of the things and all of the flavors. And then it was like, let me get super restrictive. And they, like, pulled back. And I don't know if it's, like, the first time that they really start to recognize that they have control or, like, they have the autonomy to say, I'm not eating this and then not eating it. But I remember that being, and to your question about the slippery slope, like, I almost feel like it is a slippery slope and not in a negative way, but I'm just like, okay, like, well, what are you going to eat? And then I'm going to feed you that. And then I'm sick of spending all this time meal planning, buying the food, cooking the food, and then you not eating it anyway. And then I'm throwing it out and I'm just fucking furious about it and raging and then feeling like a failure. Right? I'm just like, and so I feel like just having them eat gave me some semblance of, yes, I'm succeeding because they're eating. And then when you start after, like, a little while, you're like, oh, but they're eating things I don't want them. Will say this other thing. I find it hilarious because I remember, like, giving them a whole bunch of food and maybe it was like chicken fingers or whatever it was and, like, apples and strawberries. And my kids were asking for more strawberries. And I'm like, please eat your chicken fingers. Like, please, like, pushing the crappy food on them over the, like, fruit, because I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, well, at least there's protein and it's the real part of the food and they can't just, like, subsist on strawberries and Cheerios, right? Like, and I'm like, this is insane in my brain that, yes, I think that, like, them eating the pasta or the chicken finger is more important than whatever, like, apple they're eating.
No. My kids will eat strawberries for every meal if I'd let them.
100%. Mm-hmm. Same over here. Blueberries.
And they're expensive.
Oh, my God.
Beyond.
And then they'll dump, like, $12 worth of produce on the floor. And mm-hmm. I thought you wanted that.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be the safe food.
Yeah. Lore berries still get eaten by our household.
They get rinsed off and put back on the plate.
I mean, sometimes they get rinsed off, sure.
Well, I'm still smushing them. So it feels weird.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. You don't want to.
So I approached food very differently. Like, I'm not comfortable in the kitchen. You know, COVID got me like a little bit of a chef, you know, expertise, but I just went straight for whatever the heck they would eat, which, like, again, like, that is guilty because, like, I am so amazed by your cooking ability and, like, the meal planning. That just was never something that I tackled for myself. And I'm, like, putting that shitty habit on my children and just going directly for, like, what will you consume? Fine. We will have mac and cheese for the fifth time in a row. And it's lazy, but I also was just like, I just need you to eat and trust that you're getting the nutrients that you have. And I don't know. I think the other thing that I've been dealing with is, like, there's favorites. So I'm going to be right back.
There's favorites. My mom used to call me chicken nugget, little chicken nugget. And aww. So deep in the back of my brain, I'm like, Sarah, you subsisted on chicken noodle soup and chicken tenders for the first 14 years of your life. Like, you were super limited too. And now I eat everything. I'm a healthy human being. I have a healthy relationship with food. You know, like,
right.
I'm like, this is not the end of the world. And I do keep trying to remind myself, this is now. This is how they're eating now. This does not mean that this is how they're going to eat forever. Right. And I will say that, though, I don't remember which influencer it was, but they basically were like, every 2 weeks, your taste buds change. And I like when you're a young kid. And so I tell my kids that all the time. And in an effort to get them to try more foods, I'm like, hey, Luca, your taste buds are changing every 2 weeks. And so foods that you might have liked last week, you might not like this week. And foods that you didn't like last week, you might like this week. So we always have to try the food. That's like,
that makes so much sense.
Yeah. I'm just like, just getting them to taste it is super, that makes me feel good. Cause I'm like my daughter used to be like, I'm just going to lick it. I'm just going to lick it. And I'm like, that is no. It's not how you taste food. It needs to be out. It needs to be chewed, masticated, swallowed, and then you can say you don't like it. But just the no.
The real question is, do you say masticated too, Kyla?
No, I thought it was a fantastic word, though.
Correct.
To use here in this. but I wouldn't put it past myself to use that word. And then Kyla would use it back later in totally the wrong way, and she would butcher the word, and it would be the cutest thing ever.
We're going to take a quick break so I can tell you a little about the Juna app, the app that makes this podcast possible. Juna is the premier app for every stage of motherhood with a 12-week trying to conceive program, as well as workouts and key nutrition information for every week of pregnancy and postpartum. Plus 4 full video courses on birth prep, breastfeeding, newborn care, starting solids. The app is designed to be your number one companion from trying to conceive through your baby's first year of life. It also includes daily diaphragmatic breathing and pelvic floor exercises, daily tips and notes from me that are relevant to the exact things you might be experiencing. These are so helpful for easing any fears and preventing the dreaded gestational Google mania, that sickness where you just can't stop Googling every little thing that happens during your pregnancy. Juna is available for both iOS and Android. Just search Juna in the app stores or go to the juna.co. Again, that's juna.co. The app is completely free to try for 7 days, and if you decide it's not right for you, you can cancel anytime within the first week. No questions asked. Download the Juna app today and get started.
Oh, mm-hmm. Sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, finish your story.
Just like weird favorites. So she likes Mukki Hot, which is hot water with a splash of milk. And it's like basically tea, but summer, winter, fall, spring, Mukki Hot, Mukki Hot. And sometimes it's not hot enough. It's so freaking weird. Virginia, I have a question. Like, going back to your original story, I know there was guilt in the fact that you're not cooking these extravagant meals for your children. But when you did talk about mental load, like, has changing the way that you cook for your children made you healthier mentally and, like, helped you?
Yes. Yes. my first step was saying I'm not cooking, you know, three different meals. I'm going to cook one and I will put less salt in it because
I
was told by our pediatrician, don't add any salt to their food until they're, you know, it's happening. I'm sorry. They've had sugar too. I'm a bad mom. Okay. My mom gives me side eye every time they get anything with, you know, additional sugar or salt. And I get like, every single time. So I just don't do it in front of her anymore. That's just how, sorry, mom. But the first thing I did was just start cooking one meal and we're just going to eat that meal. And then that was kind of tricky because I would always make sure there was like a safety food, but then they would just deny everything. And they would they were obsessed with bananas and they don't talk. They're just, you know, signing bananas and milk and like all they want now. And so I've just been like, you know, I think I read somewhere, just look at the food for the week. And if the week looks well-rounded, just deal with it. And I've had to even tell my nanny, like, look, if they refuse lunch and all they want is the safe food, that's it. They'll get another chance to eat in 2 hours. And they'll scarf down whatever homemade chocolate protein muffin I've made for them.
Yes.
They love snacks. Yes. But what I've also done is I started like a food service to just cook, like just like to put microwave meals, basically, like cook Unity, whatever. So that 3 days of the week, like I just don't worry about it. And I try to find the low sodium ones. I portion off and I just give it to them. And I'm like, here.
Yes.
And that's it. Like, and I cook twice a week now. I'm not doing it anymore. And my husband, I told him, you got breakfast.
Yes. I will say, it's interesting. I love that division too. It's interesting because I feel like breakfast is our easiest meal in the house. Like our kids there's more that they eat.
Same.
And I'm like, okay, I can do this. For some reason, dinner and lunches are haunting to me. Like just doing the planning. When we were doing a meal delivery service, that helped too. Now, one of my questions that I have for you, along with like kind of what Dylan said, was so it did decrease the mental load. Did it decrease the guilt?
Mm-hmm.
Like, or do you still have some? Okay.
Absolutely not. I still feel horrible. Like, and the thing is, like, I also don't want to deny them. I don't know if it's like denying, but they need to know that these foods exist. Like, I gave them chocolate chip pancakes for the first time, and it was like so exciting to watch them eating this too. June's been going, and any sort of noise that they make in context because they're speech delayed, like, I get so happy. And June loves, like, she loves sweet things. Like, she just has a sweet tooth and just, I'm like, you know, animal crackers, they're here and they taste good. And you should have some. And I was telling Sarah, like, they're also like lazy chewers and they have issues with swallowing. So, and sometimes I think I've reinforced that by giving them softer food. But then when I see them eat animal crackers, I'm like, oh, God, they know how to chew. They are chewing. They're masticating crackers. I'm like, okay, maybe that's not so bad. But yeah, no, I think that, and maybe that's part of the game. Because, like, I was thinking about, like, earlier this week coming on here. And I was like, am I going to almost like make other people feel bad because here I am like, I went to culinary school. I made homemade muck. Now my kids won't eat. When like some people are like, yeah. Like, I wish my kids would eat that macaroni mm-hmm. and cheese. Like, you're doing pretty good.
I'm sure some people, like, everyone's experience is totally different. And I think, like, to your point, when you're like, I have friends that their kids eat sushi. And I'm like, when someone tells me that, I'm like, fuck, how? Like, how did you get your kid to eat that? Like, that makes me feel bad when I like hear, and like, why? Like, why does, like, what someone else's kids eat feel like a giant failure on my head? Like, if I were to tell someone, and I have said this out loud, I'm sure I've said it on the podcast, that I feel like my biggest failure as a mom is feeding my children because I can't get them to eat what I think we should be eating. And like all the other things, like, I just don't care about. This is the one thing that just like triggers me. And it's like, I think that like other people will say, this specifically triggered me, or like, and not totally unrelated to food. And like, I know like some of my friends, like, they don't fucking care what their kids eat. Like, it's just is what it is. And so I think like what triggers us is always going to be different in motherhood. And then it's
so
just
like for the listeners who are like, I don't resonate with this. There's a million more that do. We all have our own experiences. I will say I'm kind of in the camp mm-hmm. of my kids will eat whatever they eat. And I'm not sure like where this narrative came of like the more adventurous eaters are better, like good for them. Sure, I know, but like, correct.
Yes. Instagram.
Like, I know exactly where it like, came from. Who really cares if someone's eating sushi and someone's eating PB&J? Like, they're both getting fuel.
Yes.
They're both eating food. Like, just because it's like, I don't know. I'm not really inspired by the sushi is what I'm trying to say.
I appreciate that. I need to channel some of that because my kid eats chicken nuggets and then I give him a DHA supplement.
Oh my God. Am I supposed to be doing that too? See? I don't like it.
Well, literally, my kids do not get any DHA whatsoever because they eat absolutely none of it, right? Unless it's like fortified, but that's still really hard to get the, like, and again, I didn't take a supplement. I'm smart. I'm a, like, it doesn't, but like in my brain, I'm like, well, I take a DHA supplement. So maybe my kids should do, and they should have a probiotic too because I'm crazy.
They get those.
Whose baby is that, by the way?
Sorry. Oh, that, if the you first. Can hear, it's my. It's
I, you
ours.
Know, it's funny. Yeah. I
yeah, probably like, a diaper change.
Did I come home today?
No.
Love the diaper. No, you can't Sorry. Really hear it. It's like very faint. Faint enough that like, you know, when you hear someone screaming in the shower and you're the only one home.
The
and
ghost
you're like,
screams.
Is that just in my body? Mm-hmm. It's in my body that I hear screaming. That was what I thought it was.
The ghost.
It is. Yeah. I don't know how y'all do you work from home while your babies are home too? Yeah, this is really hard. And I can just hear them. And sometimes. Now they know where I go, and I can hear them banging on the door and crying, and I'll be in the middle of a serious meeting. They're like, do you need to get that? No, they're safe.
I think. It's, by the way, it's so funny. Like, Eric works downstairs in this office. He's currently not here. The kids, if they're home, like, they will occasionally, like, go knock on the window just to, like, say hi to him. If I am home trying to work, they are in my office running around. Like, there is, like, they, like, will not leave me alone. And I find it absolutely 1,000 times harder for moms who work from home than dads. Because,
yes. Well, talking about mom fail and shame, I wanted mm-hmm. to follow the American Pediatrics, whatever. They're like, no screen time or TV before 2. And my husband had feelings about that. He's like, no, I, you know, and you know, I used to work with Eric on an app, you know, geared towards children. I also had strong feelings about not giving devices under a certain age, or they are in like angelic for my husband. My husband's like, I never have to turn on Miss Rachel. Like, they're totally fine. They just like play with their toys and dolls and hang out. And I'm like, excuse me, like, I can't get anything done
unless I put her on, and it just has to be her. It's like they won't do Bluey, they won't do anything else but Miss Rachel. And I feel every time I do that too, I'm like, I'm a terrible mom. But I'm sitting there cooking them dinner that they're not going to eat, and it's taking away time with my children. And now they've come to associate my presence with the fact that they're going to get a screen. And that has been like so hard every day for me, because I see them in the morning before I work, and then for an hour or two before my husband goes home, and I got to get things done. I got to get them in the bath. I got to feed them. I got to make them dinner. And it's like, I can't do it with two girls just tugging and heckling me, just heckling. That alone, that sensory experience of, you know, and they don't talk, so they just scream.
And grab.
Like, I can only imagine they're like toddler obscenities at me. Like,
no, I think that's really
happening faster.
Of like the balancing momming. But like, I feel like my husband gets to swoop in and play, and I am constantly balancing I don't cook, but preparing meals or cleaning up or whatever while I'm parenting, and it's really, really hard.
Yeah, it's funny. Eric had very strong feelings about screen time too. And I'm sure, like, and I will always say, you can have an opinion when you're in it as much as I am. It's just like, it's so hard. I'm like, first of all, they behave differently around me than they do you. Like, to your point, Virginia's like Eric gets angels. He gets angels when it's just him. Like, he does not get angels when it's both of us. But when he's responsible for the kids, like, they just behave. And I do not get that. I get screaming monsters. And they're also just like underfoot is how I describe it. Like, I'm in the kitchen. I'm trying to cook dinner. And they're just like asking me for a million things. Like, oh, can I have this crayon? Oh, I need a cup of water. I'm like, get yourself. Like, this is like, I'm literally in the middle of something. And even when I'm in the middle of something, Eric will just be sitting there like on his phone, scrolling, sitting. And they're still asking me for things. And I'm like, look next to you.
This is a very triggering conversation. I'm having a fight with my husband in my head right now.
No.
It's like, we're not alone in this, right? I'm like, dude, there is another adult next to you who is so capable and willing. You just need to ask, why are you asking me? Like, I'm busy. Don't you see that?
No.
No. Doing things for you. Exactly. Not for me. Anyway, I will wrap this by saying that, like, I did not know that I had sensory processing issues until having children. I get so overstimulated between the noise and the touching that it's like my body just simmers and simmers and simmers, and then like some sound will just like make me set off. And it's like not even on the kids. I'm just like, my brain is just like agitated, in an agitated state. And I'm like, I didn't realize I had this.
But I'm also going deaf at the same time. Like, it's very strange. I have to have subtitles. Oh, like, get your things.
Boy.
But the screaming, like, it will trigger me to no end. And I had no idea. No. I had no idea.
They don't tell you that when they talk about have kids. They don't talk about the first, like, 8 years of just the loudness. I mean, we're still in it, and we have a 6.5-year-old, so I'm like giving myself some cushion room so that I can just like be like, we're still in it here. We're still in it. Yeah. Anything else to add, Virginia, before we wrap up?
No, thanks for this conversation.
That is the point of this podcast. That's great.
That's the point.
Maybe talking about like how I failed.
It's literally the point. It's we can all talk about what we did wrong.
Exactly.
People can relate.
That's why I'm doing this podcast.
Save me $240. I love it. Thank you.
Yep. I know. And I love just like unloading and someone being like, me too. And then I'm like, good. I don't need to feel guilty about it. All right. Moving that one aside. We all feed our kids chicken nuggets and pasta. Cool. Good. Well, Virginia, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. We so appreciate you sharing very openly.
You too, love.
So thanks.
Thank you. It's nice to meet you, Dylan.
All right. And if you like this podcast, please rate and review or share it with a friend. Thank you. All right.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you have a mom fail you want to share, please send us a DM on Instagram @juna.moms or email me sarah@juna.co. Remember, you can share your story completely anonymously, so you don't feel like you need to be on camera. If you want to be, that's cool too. If you're trying to conceive, pregnant, or newly postpartum, please check out the Juna app, which is the app that makes this podcast possible.